This week's parsha is Parshas Korach. In Parshas Korach, we have the rebellion of Korach and his assembly against the leadership of Moshe and Aharon. Korach was a first cousin to Moshe and Aaron. His father Yitzhar was a brother to Amram, the father of Moshe and Aaron. Kahas had four sons: Amram, Yitzhar, Charon, and Uziel. Amram had Moshe and Aaron. Yitzhar had Korach, and Korach is jealous of his first two cousins. The parsha begins, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi v'dasan v'aviram b'nei Eliyav v'om ben Peles b'nei Reuven. So Korach and his assembly, he's the first cousin, he takes along with him the classic rabble-rousers, Dasan and Aviram, and on ben Peles, he's his own interesting shiur in Svar Torah, what happens to him. Vayikum l'fnei Moshe v'anashum b'nei Yisrael chamishum masraim. They gather 250 men of prominence, men of renown, and they get up against Moshe and Aaron, and they say, Rav lechem, enough for you, ki kol ha'idu kulam kadoshim. The entire assembly is holy, v'socham Hashem, u'manduot hit nasu al kal Hashem. Who do you think you are, Moshe and Aaron? Do you think you're so special? You think you're so great? The entire assembly is holy. God is amongst all of us. Why do you exalt yourself over the people of Israel? And they were jealous. And Moshe took the rulership for himself. He gave Aaron the Kuna Gadol. And Korach says, what about me? I don't just want to be a Levi. I want to be important like you're important. And Moshe hears and he falls upon his face. And Korach goes around rousing the people up. He goes around from tent to tent. And the whole night he's making the tzonos of Moshe and Aaron. And there's going to be a test. And ultimately the ground was swallow Korach and his men, obviously proving that Moshe and Aaron have been chosen by God. They have not taken kuna for themselves at all, and the ground will open up and swallow them. And we learn from this, it's not a text-based Dvar Torah this week in the parsha itself, but what I want to do is quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichrono Livracha. And we see from here how terrible is Machlokes, but what was the root of Korach's rebellion? I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichrono Livracha, a drasha that he gave in 1963. And I always think it's so interesting to consider the time frame of when Rabbi Lam's drasha were presented. This is the Sefer Drasha L'Dorot Numbers. The rebellion of Korach and his co-conspirators against Moshe and Aaron is the first great direct test of the leadership of Moshe. The quelling of the rebellion reestablished and reaffirmed the leadership of Moshe and his people in the desert. And yet, interestingly, according to Yalkut Reuveni, the sages of Kabbalah teach the great battle between Moshe and Korach had ancient roots. The struggle between Moshe and Korach, or I should say between Korach and Korach himself against Moshe, was merely the reenactment of the old drama of the strife between Cain and Hevel, Cain and Abel. The Chazal there in Yalkut Reuveni, the sages of Kabbalah, identify Moshe with Hevel and Korach with Cain. Now we know that's Bereishis Perek Daled. Cain kills Hevel. Why does Cain kill Hevel? Because he is jealous. Cain offers an offering. Hevel offers an offering. God turns to Hevel's offering. He does not turn to Cain's offering. Cain rises up and kills Hevel. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, it is obvious to us all that the sages of Kabbalah here have enunciated a great truth. For we find many similarities between these two sets of biblical characters. For instance, we can detect at least three elements which unite Moshe with Hevel and Korach with Cain. The first is the midah of kinah, jealousy or envy. The fact that Cain killed Hevel, fratricide, killing between brothers, had its roots in the jealousy, the kinah, of Cain towards Hevel. Hashem accepted the offering of Hevel, did not accept the offering of Cain. So the first negative midah that provokes this machlokas and ultimately rebellion is kinah. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, the same feelings provoked Korach in his insurrection. Both Moshe and Korach were brothers in the sense of being members of the tribe of Levi. In fact, they were first cousins. Their fathers were brothers. Yet Moshe was the undisputed leader and Korach was not. He was, quote, consumed by the fires of jealousy. Even as later, him and his men were consumed by the fires the Lord sent when he met his end. The second observable element that unites these two pairs is taiva. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam is clearly quoting here from the Mishnah, even though he doesn't reference it directly. Oh, he does later, sorry. My bad. When he says, Kina taiva v'kavad motzina sa'adam mina olam, perak dalet av pirke avos, Mishnah Chaf Alaf, kina. There are three traits, Chazal say, they remove a person from the world. They are kina, the jealousy of what somebody else has, taiva, desire for what someone else has, and kavod, the lust for honor. both Cain, who killed Hevel, and Korach, who revolted against Moshe, were consumed with the fires of Kinah. The second observable element that unites these two pairs, says Rabbi Dr. Norman, is taiva, desire, a ravenous appetite for more and more. In the story of Cain and Hevel, the sages tell us they divided the world between the two of them. Cain owned a full half of the world. Imagine that. And yet, he begrudged his brother the other half, and he desired it for himself. Korach, according to Jewish tradition, was exceedingly wealthy. Just like Cain owned half the world, Korach is very wealthy. So much so that as rich as Korach has become a phrase in Yiddish. Yet Korach was not satisfied with what he had. He was not satisfied with his wealth. He was overwhelmed by a taiva, an intense desire for what Moshe had as well. Cain had half the world. He wanted what Hevel had. Korach had as much wealth as more than he could use in his whole life. He wanted what Moshe had. A third similarity is the striving for kavod, for honor and recognition. More than envy, kinah, and more than desire, taiva, what motivated Cain to act was the desire for honor. He was, in addition, the older brother of Hevel. He regarded Hevel's distinction as an insult. How could God turn to you, the younger brother? It was an offense against his position. He did not receive the kavod from God, kaviyacha, that he thought was his due. So too Korach, he felt deeply unhappy. He too felt he lacked recognition. He too deserved more. He wanted kavod. He wanted the people to laud him, glorify him, call him the leader. And he felt he did not receive what was rightly his. How clearly this comes out in the first accusation that Korach publicly directs against Moshe Rabbeinu. What does he say to him? Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim, umadua titnasu al kahal Hashem. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the Hevels and the Moseses, the people of goodwill, must always be prepared to cope with the dissatisfied, with those amongst us who always grab for more than they deserve. As the rabbis teach us in Pirkei Avot, envy, desire, and undeserved honor drive a man out of the world. In both the case of these two biblical narratives, this is literally true. Cain was forced out of his world. We know that God sent him into exile. He was forced to wander the face of the earth. No place could he call his own. No house could he identify as his home. Korach, too, was driven out of the world. He literally was swallowed up by the earth and vanished from the world of men. It is quite compelling and interesting to notice that how Cain, when Cain killed Hevel, and Hevel was, his blood was taken by the earth, and God comes to Cain and he says, "Ai Hevel Yachicha, Hashomer Achi Anochi." He says, "Kol Deme Achicha Tso Atem Alai Min Hakever." He says, "Your brother's blood calls out to me from the ground." When Cain killed Hevel, many centuries later, what happened to Hevel as a result of Cain's sin happens to Korach as a result of his own sin. It's almost a midah keneged midah. There, Cain gets what is due to him in the form of Korach, who goes down, down, down. Because kina, taiva, and kavod, motzin esa adam min ha'olam. When Cain killed Hevel, it's because his offering was rejected. So he was jealous of his brother. He desired what his brother had, and he wanted recognition from himself. And so too Korach had these very same midos. He too was jealous of Moshe and Aaron. He too desired what they have. He too wanted honor for himself, but ultimately he met his end by the ground swallowing up his blood, which is what happened to Hevel so many centuries earlier. The quarrel between Moshe and Korach, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, was not something localized in ancient history. Quote, "It is a universal drama. It is as old as man himself. So long as there are people who will allow themselves to be dominated by unworthy aspirations, someone is going to be terrorized and someone is going to be victimized." The two cases of Cain and Korach, in essence, are biblical insight into the personality of the aggressor. A biblical insight into the personality of the aggressor. Both in the case of Cain and Korach, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the real motives of envy, desire for power, and grasping for honor are disguised in a veneer of righteousness. Korach pretends he is fighting the battle for the people, when really he's fighting the battle for himself. Cain pretends that he too is innocent. And when God comes and says, "Where's your brother?" he says, "What, am I my brother's keeper? Maybe my brother has his own life. How should I know where my brother Hevel is?" Is my sin too great to bear, he says to the Almighty. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, both in the case of Cain and Korach, the motive of envy, kina, desire for power, taiva, and the grasping for honor, kavod, are disguised in a veneer of righteousness. They are hypocrites. Perhaps that's what the Torah means to tell us. They give a front. They presented an excuse. What Cain said was totally irrelevant. The fact is he was fraudulent. He was hypocritical. What Korach said and who he took along with him was equally inconsequential. The important thing is that in order to satisfy his own desire for power, he almost destroyed his entire people. It is this deeper motive, unspoken and unarticulated, disguised in a cloak of piety, that is so terribly and unspeakably evil. It is that which really counts. Korach has his own parasha. Korach has his own story. Korach was a powerful man. He was a rich man. He was a prominent member of Levi. And yet he was dissatisfied with what he had. Just like Cain, who killed Hevel centuries before him, it is truly kina, taiva, and kavod. Motzin es ha'adam min ha'olam. May the Ribono Shel Olam grant us the humility with who we are, the satisfaction with our own lives, and the contentment with what we have vis-a-vis what other people have. So we will only bring shalom to our nation and shalom to our people, and nachas to the Ribono Shel Olam, and stay far, far away from machlokas, which brings people down, down, down. May we be zocha to a Shabbat shalom and to learn the lessons well of not being like Korach and his Ada. I wish everybody a wonderful day. Thank you for learning with me. Kol tov, all the best. Thank you.